While you're turning, boy, I got a blessing this week. Some lady called in the middle of the week, and I wasn't home because I was out talking to my wife. Some lady up in Pennsylvania called, and they found a bunch of our West Virginia, someplace up there, someplace in the lower 48, and been listening to a bunch of our tapes and getting a blessing. She just called to say what a blessing they'd been. And I thought, well, that's a real blessing. I'm glad somebody listens. We may have to send it out to Virginia and Pennsylvania to get somebody to listen, but that's better than nobody, I guess. Amen. And I don't know if you folks know it or not, but we got 300-400 sermons on the internet. All you have to do is go to ruckmanite.com, and then scroll down till you find Dr. Hensley, and then there's just tons and tons and tons and tons of our stuff. Some guy from California came over a few months ago, or a year or so ago, I guess now, and took everything we had and downloaded it on the internet. So if you hear anything you like, you don't have to pay Sister Kathy for a copy. You can download it for free. Just go to ruckmanite.com. I think ruckmanite's one word, and you can get all you can handle. Amen. All right, now Joshua chapter 9 and verse 1. And it came to pass when all the kings which were on this side Jordan, in the hills and in the valleys, and in all the coast of the great sea, over against Lebanon, the Hittite, the Amorite, the Canaanite, the Perizzite, the Hivite, and the Jebusite. That's all the ites. That's the whole clan right there. Heard thereof that they gathered themselves together to fight with Joshua and with Israel with one accord. They ganged up on them. And when the inhabitants of Gibeon heard that Joshua, what Joshua had done unto Jericho and to Ai, they did work wily. Remember Wile E. Coyote? That's what that is. And went and made as if they had been ambassadors, and took old sacks upon their asses, and wine bottles, old and rent and bound up, and old shoes, and clouted them upon their feet, and old garments upon them, and all the bread of their provision was dry and moldy. And they went to Joshua unto the camp at Gilgal, and said unto him and to the men of Israel, we be come from a far country. Now therefore make a league with us. Let's pray. Father, help us now this morning. Give us liberty and power and wisdom to preach. And I pray, oh God, the Holy Spirit would undertake, do a work in our hearts, do a work in our midst, do a work in our community. We'll thank you and praise you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, some years ago, I brought you a message on this same passage entitled Moldy Bread. And it was a whole different thought, whole different message. This morning, I want to bring you a little message entitled Wanted Ambassadors. Wanted. This is a help wanted column. God needs some folks. And he's got out billboards and advertisements. And he's running TV ads and radio spots. Probably on the internet, looking for ambassadors. Now, we got Christians running out our ears. Brother Steve just came back from the jail, and everybody over there saved. And I preached at the jail, and everybody I preached to was saved. And my wife preaches at the prison, and everybody she preaches to is saved. And so we changed it. We call it our ministry to the saints in prison. Because they all saved. So this morning, I want to talk to y'all saved folks. And we're looking for a small number out of the big number that wants to be an ambassador for Christ. We're not just looking for everyday, ordinary, run-of-the-mill, nothing special kind of Christians. Good night, they're everywhere, they're on every street corner, they're in every denomination. The Catholics have got them, the Episcopalians got them, Lutherans have got them, Baptists, we got them by the droves, you know. You can get pew warmers, you can get folks that say they're Christian and live a pretty decent little old life and all that stuff. I want to talk to y'all, but we're trying to recruit from that number a handful of the elite, the special, the above average. And we want to call you into the service to be ambassadors for Jesus Christ. Now, I don't know if you know what an ambassador is. An ambassador is somebody that a government or a company or even a church chooses to represent them. They choose that individual and they say, we want you to be an ambassador, we want you to represent us, we're going to give you certain authority and certain privileges, but in order to do that, you've got to represent us and our wants and our needs, and what you want, what you need, what you think is totally immaterial. When you're on the clock as an ambassador, you're working for us. And your opinions about it and whether you like it or not is immaterial. If you take this job, it will be your job to represent us the way we want to be represented. Now, if the United States of America gets an ambassador and we send one to Chile and Argentina and Venezuela and all them other little third world countries that's going to give us a pain in the neck, we send a fella down there, we choose a man that we think has character and integrity and some degree of intelligence, and then we say, now here is our position, this is what we believe, this is the relationship that we're going to maintain with each one of these little countries, and you are authorized in the name of the United States to say this and this and this. You can't go any further, you don't have any authority to change it, you can't rewrite it. And when you go down there, your life must represent the United States of America. Now, you're going to have to dress to represent us. You're going to have to talk to represent us. You're going to have to present our program and our plan, or you can't be an ambassador. And so a fellow said, okay, I want the job. I like the benefits. I like the rewards. I like the pay program. I think the dividends are worthwhile. So now he goes down and he moves in the ambassador's residence. And from that day forward, he has to watch what he says. He has to watch how he says it. He has to watch out who he talks to, who he hangs out with. He has to watch how he dresses. He has to watch where he goes. So why? Because everything he does reflects on the people that sent him there to this foreign country to represent them. And if what he's going to say, if what he's going to do, if what he's going to wear, if where he's going to go, if where who he's going to hang with is going to besmirch the reputation, diminish or take away from the authority that sent him, he has no right to do that because he is their ambassador in a foreign land. Got it? Now we're looking for some of them. We're looking for some ambassadors. Now this little story we just read, and there's a lot more to the story, but there's a couple things I want to point out real quick because there's some places we got to go. Now, number one, in Joshua chapter 9 and verse 11, which we didn't read that far, just take my word for it. In Joshua chapter 9 and verse 11, you'll find out that these men were sent to Joshua. The community got together and deputized them and authorized them and said, they're going to wipe us off the map. Right? We know what God did with them and we know what's coming. It's fixing to be a big battle and we're going to get caught up in it and we won't be anymore. And so they tried to be smart, they tried to be wise, they used their head, and you've got to admit they were pretty smart about it. And they said, now we want you to go down, and here's what you're going to do. You're going to have to dress funny, and you're going to have to tell a strange story, and you've got to make it believable. Amen? So man, they're wanting Israel to sign a peace treaty, yet their enemy right in the midst of them, so they said, what we're going to do, we're going to go down there and we're going to lie like a Persian rug, son. We're going to lie like a dog. We go down and tell them that we're from about 300 miles away. And you read the rest of that story. It said, when we left home, said all our clothes were new. All of our shoes were new. Said, why, the bread we got in our bag, the bread we eaten today was hot out of the oven when we left. Look at it now, it's all moldy. That was brand new wine in them pigskin, but now they're rent, they're torn. We come from a long way off. And they said, well, why'd you come? And, well, we heard what God did to Ai and Jericho, and we see there's fixing to be a big another battle, and we want peace. Man, they come down there and they looked the part, didn't they? Their clothes was all raggy, and the coverings on their camels and their donkeys was all raggedy, and their hair was all raggedy, and their food was all moldy, and their wine was all busted up, and all that. I mean, they looked like they come from a long way off. Amen? And then when they told that story, boy, they told it with conviction. They told it with power. They told it with authority. They said, oh, we came from a long way off. Said, them biscuits over there in that bag. He said, I know they look like hardtack today. But man, they were hot out of grandma's oven that morning. And they tricked them. And they got them to sign a peace treaty. Now, I know they lied. And I know they were the enemy. But they show a truth. They were good ambassadors. They did whatever was necessary to get their message across. They did and said whatever was necessary to represent the people that sent them. Amen? That's what the little story is there in Joshua chapter 9. Let me remind you, ladies and gentlemen, 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 20, the Bible said, we are ambassadors. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ as though God did beseech you by us. If you're a Christian, you are supposed to be an ambassador. You're not your own. You're bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God and in your body, which are the Lord's. Amen? Amen. You're supposed to be an ambassador. Now, what does that mean? That means that you're on God's clock. You're on God's time. That means you work for somebody else. You don't represent yourself anymore. You represent Jesus Christ. What does that mean? That means you've got to be just like them fellas. You've got to tell the message he wants told. You've got to represent him in a way that brings honor and glory to him. That means that you're not allowed to have anything in your life that would be derogatory to his reputation or to his mission or to his agenda. Anything that hurts the cause of Christ is off limits and out of bounds if you're saved by God's grace. Not only are we called to be ambassadors, we're sent just like these men. Matthew chapter 28 verse 19, the Bible said, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel. Who's supposed to do that? Every disciple of Christ. Everybody that's washed in the blood of the Lamb, you're commanded to go out into the world. And listen, well, man, that'd be a lot of ambassadors. There's 6 billion people on this planet. We need a lot of ambassadors. Amen? I guarantee you, ladies and gentlemen, I guarantee you on the authority of the Word of God and the Census Bureau, there ain't nowhere near enough ambassadors out there. Nowhere near enough ambassadors. Galatians chapter 1, verse 9, the Bible said, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that which you have received, let him be accursed. So what does that mean? That means that if you're an ambassador to Christ, you are supposed to deliver one message. Amen. One message. And if you change it and water it down and alter it and mess it up, God's going to put a curse on you. You're supposed to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ without fear, without favor, and without alteration. Amen? Now, so, you're called to be an ambassador, you're sent out into the world, and you're given a message. Now, the job of the ambassador is to take that authority and that message and do the dead level best he can to make sure that he can deliver it with all the power and all the authority and all the truth contained therein and represent effectively whoever it was that sent him. Amen? And so, when you find something that is demeaning or derogatory, if you find something that hinders or hurts your testimony, your ability to be an effective ambassador, so what are you supposed to do? You're supposed to get rid of it. You're supposed to get out of your life. Amen? Now you can begin to see why there are a lot of Christians and only a handful of ambassadors. People lack the dedication, the wisdom and the understanding, the desire to be an ambassador. Now, I have 11 points here. This is just introduction so far. I have 11 things we need to talk about that should be true of every ambassador. I'm going to give them to you. Would you look at them, listen to them, evaluate them, weigh them. Think about them. Meditate on them. And then decide whether you just want to be saved or if you want to be an ambassador for Jesus Christ. Amen? Wanted ambassadors. And I'm like the army recruiter going to the college campus or the high school campus. I'm looking for folks to volunteer, to step up and say, I want a career in the Army. I want a career in the Air Force. I'm looking for some folks to say, I want a career in the service of Jesus Christ. I want to be an ambassador. I want to represent Him everywhere I go, in everything I do, in every way possible. I don't want anything in my life or in my speech or in my conduct or in my dress or in any other way to take away from the glory that belongs to Him. Y'all ready? Number one. An ambassador does not live like the rest of the world. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 1. Y'all going to think this is a survey of Ephesians. Somebody said Ephesians is the holy grounds of the New Testament. And they're absolutely right about that. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 17, the Bible said, this I say therefore, and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk in the vanity of their mind. What does that mean? You Christians ain't supposed to live like the rest of the world. Man, they out there partying and fornicating and raising hell and drinking and doping and all this, that, and the other. They're out there trying to get rich and hang on to this world's goods. That's not the life of a Christian. You're going to have to let that, if you want to be an ambassador for Christ, that stuff's going to have to take second place. But I know you got to eat and you got to live, and it's not a sin to have a nice house. But there's a lot of things Christians don't do that aren't sinful. There's a lot of things Christians don't do because they're trying to be an ambassador and they don't want their testimony to be searched. They don't want anybody to give occasion to anybody else to stumble and fall. We don't want to give an occasion to the enemy to be able to blaspheme. We don't want the enemy to be able to say, well, this, that, or the other, and throw off on the one that sent us, see? So you and I cannot live like the rest of the world lives. You're going to have to be truthful. You're going to be honest. You're going to have character. You're going to have some integrity. Your word is going to be your bond. There's going to be some places you just can't go. There's going to be some things you just can't do. Say, why? Because you're going to be an ambassador for Jesus Christ, and you've got to put on His uniform and His lifestyle in order to represent Him, and it just means there's going to be something you're going to have to let go. Not only must we not live like the world, an ambassador must put off the old life. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 22, that you put off concerning the former conversation the old man which is corrupt. Which means that you not only have to distance yourself from the profane and the secular, the ungodly in the world, it means you've got to make yourself different on the inside. It's one thing to be separate from sinners, but if we don't first clean the bowl on the inside, we've wasted our time, see? And so there's two parts to this separation thing. There is separation from obvious worldliness and ungodliness, but there's also the cleansing and the purifying of the inner man. That means there's some things I'm not going to watch on the TV set. Amen. I'm sitting there at home. Was it Saturday? I think it was. My wife going down to visit her sister-in-law. And I went and played golf, and I came home, and sitting at the table working on my sermon. I'm clicking through the channels trying to find something to watch. And I come across there, and it's got this thing on the Dallas Cowboy cheerleaders. Man, I clicked on it. Here's about 20 women with nearly nothing on, and every one of them was pretty. Where did they get all them good-looking women anyway? They ain't that many in York County, I know that. The flesh said, whoa, stop right here. I clicked that thing as quick as I could. Said, why? Because I was afraid if I started watching it, I'd watch it. So I just clicked on by that thing. I ain't watching that stuff. Amen. Say, why? I'm trying to change me on the inside. I want me to be a better man. I want my thoughts to be pure and holy. I want them to be acceptable unto God. The Bible said by the renewing of your mind, and you can't renew your mind and put the same old junk in it. Einstein said one time, insanity is doing the same thing over and over and over again and expecting a different result. Amen. You're not going to be a better man. You're not going to be a better woman. Keep on doing what you've always done. Amen. Now, if you want to be an ambassador, there's some things you're just going to have to put on hold, and you've got to separate yourself from some things in the world, and you've got to fix yourself on the inside. I've got to get me reprogrammed so that I'm not presenting me and my message, but I'm presenting him and his message. Now, I'm here to tell you, that don't come natural. Not only that, we must guard our speech. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 29, the Bible said, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. There's another place that said, evil communications corrupt good manners. Now, first thing y'all thought about was I was talking about cussing, didn't you? Cussing is okay. In moderation. Well, if drinking is okay in moderation, surely cussing is. And it don't give you bad breath. Y'all think that's ridiculous, don't you? There's a lot of things I think are ridiculous. And I think there's a lot of things God thinks is ridiculous. Amen? Listen, your speech, of course, you ought not to cuss. Slang. Slang is okay. Be careful with the cussing, though. That's funny. Y'all can laugh. Help me out here. But there's more to your communication than that. There's more than just foul language. Corrupt communications has to do with mean talk or mean-spirited talk or negative when you should be positive. Corrupt communications has to do with not presenting God truthfully and honestly. There's a whole host of things involved in your communication. What does your life communicate? What does your mouth communicate? See, and so you're not supposed to have any corrupt communication. There shouldn't be anything come out of you, out of your life, or out of your mouth that would take away from the cause of the person that called you to be an ambassador. People say, well, it's my life, and I don't care what people think. Well, it's not your life if you decide to live for Jesus Christ. You're bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are the Lord's. You don't belong to you anymore. Amen. And if you decide to be an ambassador, you're going to have to put a lot of that junk that you like and a lot of them friends you hang out with and a lot of them fashions you wear, you have to put them on hold because they don't properly represent Jesus Christ. I'm sick and tired of Christians saying, well, there ain't nothing wrong with that. I've seen nothing wrong with that. What's wrong with that? How about it hurts your testimony? How about it gives occasion to the enemies of God to blaspheme? How about it takes away your authority and your power because it causes people to question your sincerity and your honesty? Amen. You say, well, we got this little fashion, and I don't see nothing wrong with it. Who does it identify you with? What do people think about when they see you dressed like that or wearing that or hanging with that group? But if people are instantly convinced or drawn to something that's ungodly, against Christ, against the gospel, it ought not be in your life. I don't care what it is. I don't care how right you think it is. I don't care whether you see anything wrong with it or not. If it hurts the cause you're called to represent, you're an ambassador for Christ, you don't have the right to have it in your life. Amen. Not only that, Ephesians chapter 5, verse 15 said, see then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. So an ambassador must be wise and discerning. Now you live in a non-thinking generation. Example, the last election. If America was a thinking nation, we would not have Barack Obama as president-elect. We would not be headed to a king. We would not be headed to communism. Amen. So how did he get elected? People weren't very discerning. They weren't very smart. You know what? That guy, all of his associations were communists. All of his associations were Marxist. All of his doctrine, all of his teaching was socialist. Every one of them, every person they ever named. When he taught in law school, he taught socialism. He taught lawyers how to implement Marxism. He was a street agitator. He put $150 million in an education program to further Marxism and radicalism. All his associations were radicals and murderers and terrorists. And you know what America said? Well, I don't see nothing wrong with that. Ain't no big deal. Now, you know what that means? That means that they're not very discerning. Why do you think you hang around with the people you hang around with? I'll tell you why. Unless you've been captured and hogtied, you hang around with them because that's what you like. People do what they like. They hang with who they like. People say, well, my girl's a good little girl. She just got to running with the wrong crowd. Yeah, well, sweetheart, let me tell you something. She run with that crowd because she wanted to. Amen. Did they come in there and lynch her? Snatch her up? Did they come in there and tie her up and drag her off? Oh, no, no. Man, we tried to keep her home, and she left kicking and screaming against us. She just couldn't wait to get out there and be a bad girl and run with that bad crowd. Amen? So what does that mean? It means you got a bad girl. Hello? But parents are making excuses for him, you know. Oh, my little boy's a good little boy. He just got with the wrong crowd. Sweetheart, he chose the wrong crowd because he likes what they do. We need to be discerning. People that hang around with bad folks do it because they like bad folks. Barack Obama hung around with those crowd because that's the crowd he liked. That's what he believes. Amen. If America had been very discerning, we would not have elected him president of the United States of America. They would have understood that he's a socialist at best and a Marxist at worst, and that all of his friends are radicals. Amen. You say, well, and everybody sitting in this room say, well, you're right about that, preacher boy. I don't know how we did that. Yet that same crowd, when it comes to serving Jesus Christ and being an influence for him, think that they can hang with the crowd that dresses like hell and has all the dirty little shirts on and look like they just come out of a rag bag and listen to the worst kind of music and use the worst kind of language. You think you can hang with them all the time and run with that crowd and it don't impact you, it don't influence you? Well, it influences your testimony. Amen. That Bible said, let no man despise thy youth. Buddy, until you're about 75 or 80, you ought to live so separated nobody could question it. Amen. And when you get to be 75 or 80, then you'll be old enough to have some sense. Between now and then, listen to me. We need to be wise. We need to be discerning. We need to look at our life and say, if I do this, if I go here, if I participate, if I wear that, what impact will it have on those people who see me and know me, who I told I am a Christian? See, if you're going to be an ambassador, you've got to be worried about that. You say, I'm only on the clock 8 hours a day. No, no. If you're an ambassador, you're on the clock 24/7, son. You can't go anywhere and you can't do anything that's not being scrutinized by everybody down there that you've come to reach. Amen? If you're an ambassador to Christ, we're out here trying to reach the world. And we're trying to reach the world everywhere we go, in everything we do, and with everything we say. Therefore, our whole life is under the microscope, and there's no place where you can let down. Must be discerned. Number five or six or whatever it is. Ambassadors not only must be wise and discerning, we must not, this is an imperative, we must not waste our opportunity. Ephesians chapter 5 verse 16 said, redeeming the time because the days are evil. We have this idea in America that we got plenty of time for everything. That we can wait. Young people have been brought up to think that they've got to live like young people. They need to have their time to sow their wild oats. They have to have their opportunity to have some fun before they settle down and get serious. Where'd you get that? Where'd that come from? You never got that out of a Bible. Amen. You didn't get it from Jack Hiles. You didn't get that from Bob Gray. You didn't get that from John R. Rice. You sure didn't get that from me. You didn't get that from Pete Ruckman. You didn't get that from Moody or Torrey or Sunday or Whitfield or any of the rest of them guys. They all taught and preached and believed and practiced that when you got saved, from that moment forward, your life belonged to Jesus Christ and your life was put on hold. Amen. Now, you only have a certain amount of time, but the minute you get saved, you ought to start using it for Christ. Well, I'm going to settle down. When I get married and start having kids, then we're going to get faithful and we're going to get diligent and I'm really going to do something for God. No, you won't. You're lying like a dog. You ain't got the sense God gave a brass monkey. You put off serving Christ for 3, 4, 5 years and you'll keep on putting it off to your dying day. Once you get into that habit of putting it off and finding out you can get away with it and God's not going to strike you dead, you're encouraged and emboldened to keep on doing it. And I'm going to tell you something. People think that the point they are in their life today is unique and that somewhere down the road things will change and they'll have more time and more opportunity to do something. The devil makes sure that no matter what stage of your life you're in, you're always too busy, too preoccupied, or too broke to do anything for God. It's never going to get any better. You might as well just go ahead and jump in now and get it over with because there's not going to be a better time down the road. These people say, well, when do we get the kids out of school? You say, well, you know, we had them kids in school all them years, spent all that money. We're going to take a couple years for ourselves. And then you take a couple years for yourself and then you say, well, you're going to get busy for God. Well, you know, we're kind of old now and don't have much energy left anymore and we're just going to start a prayer ministry. So what are they going to do? They're going to do nothing. They made excuse after excuse after excuse for year after year after year, and they didn't do anything, and they didn't do anything, and they didn't, and they're not going to do anything. Amen? That's like some blockhead gets out of school, you know, and he wants to take a couple years off before he goes to school. 98% of them guys never go. They never go. Because they get out having fun, partying, living it up, doing this, having money in their pocket. They get a few bills here and there, and guess what? Now they can't afford it. They don't have time. They're too old. All the people that they were going to go with have gone and gone. Amen. I'm here to tell you, if you're going to serve God, you want to be an ambassador for Christ, you need to sign up there. You need to get busy right now. Don't waste your opportunity. It won't come back. It's a one-way track. Once you get on that railway to heaven, there's no backing up. There are no side streets. There's no detour. It's a straight shot right from here to glory land. And you either get on and ride it and do what you can now, or you just ain't ever going to get it done. Don't fool yourself. Don't be deceived by the devil. Number 6 or 7. A good ambassador must stay in touch with the one that sent him. The situation in the world is in a flux. It's not set in stone. It changes almost daily. And you can look at a thing and for a week, 2 weeks, 6 weeks, it goes along and it looks like it's just, you've got this status quo and it's just going to be like this forever. And then Putin does something stupid or, you know, them other rogue dictators. And all of a sudden the world situation changes and where you're at is in a turmoil. You say, boy, I didn't see that coming. How'd that happen? You didn't stay in touch. Now, them ambassadors stay in touch with Washington all the time, on a daily basis, sometimes multiple times during a 24-hour period, especially if there's tension in the world and hostilities and things are going on. They're constantly calling back and forth. They've got to know what's going on in case their orders change. They've got to stay in touch so that they'll know what to say and how to respond to the people they sent to be an ambassador to. I'm here to tell you, ladies and gentlemen, if you want to be an ambassador for Jesus Christ, it's absolutely required. It is a requisite that you stay in touch with the one that sent you. Amen? You get down here all on your own, don't talk to the one that sent you, and you get cold, and you get sterile, and you get dead, and you get out of touch. You lose your enthusiasm. You lose your confidence. You haven't talked to anybody in a while. And you say, well, I don't know if the orders have changed or not. I don't know if this still applies to this situation. And so you get hesitant, and you get scared. Pretty soon, you just packed up down there in the ambassador's palace, and you ain't doing nothing. If you'd stayed in touch and knew what was going on, you'd have a lot more confidence, you'd have more boldness, you'd have more power, you'd have more authority, and you would get out there and represent him effectively. I'm here to tell you, if you're saved by God's grace and you want to be an ambassador for Jesus Christ, you need to stay in touch. You need to pray, read that Bible, listen to good preaching, come hear me, come hear Brother Lewis, and stay in touch with the one that sent you. Number 7, a good ambassador must be bold for the one that sent him. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 20 said, for which I am an ambassador in bonds, that therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. I remember years ago, I've been in the Navy 10 years when I got saved, and I knew all about navying. I knew all about sailoring. I could cuss with the best of them. I could go to the AC/DC club at lunchtime and have a liquid lunch. I know all the stuff, you know. I spent 10 years, and then I got saved. Washed in the blood of the Lamb. Boy, I became a brand spanking new creature. And it was a temptation to the flesh to keep my mouth shut. When all them guys heard my language, they seen my life, they knew how I lived, they knew how I talked for years. Now all of a sudden I get converted and I'm a brand new creature, and then I'm supposed to go out and tell them all about Jesus Christ. I know they're going to laugh at me. I know they're all going to think I'm a hypocrite. Half of them are going to think I've lost my flipping mind. Amen? And you know what my flesh said? My flesh said, you're saved, just keep it to yourself. You know what the Holy Spirit of God said? The Holy Spirit said, stand up and tell the whole crowd. Amen. Wasn't long after that, I went to sea, and I went aboard the USS Forrestal, and I walked into the power plants. I was going to be the supervisor for the power plants division, and I walked in. I had about 15 guys sitting there going to be working for me. I walked in. I closed the hatch, locked it down, walked over to the supervisor's desk, which was going to be my desk, and I told him, I said, I'm Petty Officer Hensley. I'm going to be taking over the Power Plants Division. And I'm saved. And I'm sealed. And I'm a Bible-believing Baptist. And I don't drink. And I don't smoke. And I don't cuss. And I don't run around with them whores when I go on liberty. I said, I'm going to get that straight up right now. That was day one, the first 2 minutes I was in the place. He said, why'd you do that? Because after that, I was embarrassed to do any of them things I told him I didn't do. Well, how would it look if I had gone down there and they said, oh, I thought you said you didn't do that. How come you down here in this honky-tonky with that hoe? You know what I did? I effectively shut my mouth is what I did. I wasn't going to embarrass myself. You say, well, you ought to have done it for God. I did it for God. But I know I'm a weak vessel. That in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing, buddy. We are them that have no confidence in the flesh. And so what I did, I just put myself in a position where I couldn't afford to go back on what I believed. Amen. Best thing you can do is just be bold. Tell the world you're an ambassador for Christ. Declare it out loud. Stand up straight and say, I am a Christian. And by the way, I'm a Bible-believing Christian. By the way, I'm a separated, fundamental, Bible-believing Christian. Amen. Just go ahead and be bold. Get it all out. They're going to figure it out sooner or later, and they're going to talk about you and run you down no matter what you do. Just get it out of there. But you put yourself in a position so that from now on you can be bold. People will come. Let me tell you what you do. I was talking to somebody before church this morning. Sometimes it's hard to get people to talk to you. But John, it's John. And John was talking about he's got a lot of opportunity to witness on this new job he's got. I said, man, I wish I could. Everybody where I work knows me, and they give me a wide berth. I don't get to talk to nobody at work anymore. I mean nobody. Unless somebody just died, somebody's sick, or somebody's getting a divorce, and then guess who they won't come talk to? They come in and close the door and say, Bob, can I talk to you for a minute? I said, no! You just come back. You don't want me. You don't want my Christ. You don't want my gospel. Just go on and go to hell. No, you don't do that. I'm an ambassador for Jesus Christ. I'm sitting down here and put in this place to be a witness for Him and to work for Him and promote Him. Amen? And whether I like that guy or not because he aggravates me because he won't have anything to do with me unless he's got trouble, that's not my responsibility. That's got nothing to do with my job. My job is to give that guy the gospel no matter what. Not only must we be bold for our master, if you want to be a good ambassador, a good ambassador must stick to their mission. Whatever they're assigned to do, whatever their duties, whatever their program, whatever it is, that's all they're entrusted to do, that's all they're empowered to do. The Bible said in Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 9, and to make all men see what is the mystery which from the beginning of the world hath been hid in God. We got a job to do. We got to reveal to the world the mystery of Jesus Christ, God's plan of salvation. Now, I listen to the news a lot. I like Fox News. Matter of fact, it's the only thing we turn on our TV anymore. Them sitcoms are dirty. Anything on television that's funny is filthy. I don't know why it goes hand in hand, but they do. But, oh, I like that show. It's so funny. It'll be crude. It'll have crude humor or sexual innuendo. I just don't watch it. Amen. I can still watch Fox News most of the time. What was I saying that for? Anybody remember? What was my point? Thank you. I'm glad somebody was listening. I knew Geraldine would. Now, I listen to Fox News, and they talk about the war in Afghanistan, the war in Iraq, and this, that, and the other. I used to listen to it when we were in Vietnam. And they're always talking about this thing called mission creep. And I thought, well, every mission's got one of them, sure does. And everywhere I ever went, they had one. Somebody say amen. That's not what they're talking about, though. They're talking about the expansion of the mission. It started out to just be this. And then they added this, and they added that, and they deleted that, and they went this way, and this way, and this way, and all of a sudden now they're going that way, that way. And the thing's just expanding and growing exponentially, and I mean, it's just... It ain't nowhere near what it started out to be. Amen? Ladies and gentlemen, the church of the Lord Jesus Christ is to present Jesus Christ to a lost and dying world. Amen? The church is not about civic thing. It's not about social thing. It's not about ball teams and having a good time. It's not about First Baptist Church fixing to have Sunday night or Friday night, Wednesday, some night during the week. They're going to have a whole bunch of classes. And two of them had to do with preparing a Bible study. One of them had to do with teaching a Bible class. The other one was how to prepare a personal Bible study. And all the other three were secular things. It was in the paper yesterday. That ain't what the church is all about. That's not what ambassadors are all about. I got one job. I don't want it to grow. I don't want it to have mission creep. I want to stay focused on getting folks to Jesus Christ and getting them to live right. That's my two objectives in this life. I want to say, unsaved folks, get saved by the grace of God. I want to present the plan of salvation clear and simple and powerful so that those who hear it are touched by it and the Holy Spirit can use it to convert them and bring them to Christ. And after they're saved, I want to preach as hard and as straight as I can on Christian living and right principles and right conduct and right dress and separation from the world and separation from sin and ungodliness so that the church of Jesus Christ, one, has a measure of peace and happiness in this life, because that kind of life is the best life, and so that the church of Jesus Christ will have an impact and influence on the world. Amen. That's all I'm interested in. Stick to the mission. What's the mission? The mission is the mission field, which is white and the harvest. Number 9, a good ambassador. Now, this is a recap. Here's what we learned. A good ambassador has a new life, a new mission, and a new manner of life. That is, an ambassador must be saved and born again. He must know that his mission is to reach people for Christ. And he has to understand that he can only do that if his life reflects Jesus Christ. If it reflects the fads and the trends of this world and this day, which are like the driven snow that change every time you turn around, it's going to be a deterrent to his ability to represent the one that called him. Got it? I get flack all the time. Brother Hensley, you're the only one in town preaching on don't wear this and don't wear that and worry about people's clothes and don't you think you could reach more of them if you look more like them? No, 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 no! I'm not sinking down where they are. I'm not taking the gospel down in the mud. I'm going to lift them up out of the mud and the miry clay and set them up on the solid rock. We are not going to descend. We are going to go up. Christianity is an uplifting and exalting religion. And we're not going down in the mud. Amen. Well, I'll find me another church. Okay. See me after church. I'll sign your card. We've been this way forever, and we ain't changing. Man. Well, you're never going to have a big church, Brother Hensley. I didn't set out to have a big church. I set out to get folks saved and see a few of them live right. That's all. Man. I don't want to be as big as Blinky. Oh, what's your name? Joel Osteen. Simpleton. Not only that, A good ambassador must bring glory, bring honor, bring prestige to the one that sent him. Ephesians chapter 1 verse 12 said that we should be to the praise of his glory. You know what our ultimate mission is? You know what our real goal is? To bring glory to Jesus Christ. We're not here so we can have fun. I didn't say fun was wrong. We're here to bring glory to Jesus Christ. He shed his blood. He died on Calvary's cross. He saved me. He purchased my soul. He wants me to be his ambassador. I'm not your ambassador. I'm not an ambassador for the Baptist Church. I'm not even an ambassador for King James Bible. I'm an ambassador for Jesus Christ. And by the grace of God, when I find something that hinders my ability to be the best ambassador I can be, I want to get rid of it. That means some people can't be my friends, so be it. That means I can't go some places, so be it. That means if I can't wear certain things, so be it. So why? I want to be an ambassador. That's my goal. That's my objective. That's what I want. I want that more than I want popularity. I want that more than I want to have fun. I want that more than I want friends. I want that more than I want to be cool. One of these days, by the grace of Almighty God, after I've been saved 36 years now, preaching for 35, one of these days I'm going to die and I'm going to stand before Jesus Christ and I want to bow down before him. And if I can hear him say, well done, thou good and faithful I'll be the happiest man in the universe. And everything that I didn't do down here will be totally insignificant. I feel sure it won't ever come to mind. I'll never miss a second of it. If I look at the one who died for me and he says, well done, how good and faithful servant. Do I have to pay a price for that? Yes, you do. Yes, you do. Is it worth it? Oh, yes, it is. Our lives are to bring glory to him. Last but not least, a good ambassador must understand how we must live that we might fulfill our calling. Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 18, the Bible said, the eyes of your understanding being opened, of being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling. It ought to be the prayer of every Christian who wants to be an ambassador to pray that God would give us understanding, that he would enlighten our spiritual eyes, our mind, that we could see and know and understand the importance of our ambassadorship, that it's worth every effort. It's worth all of our labor. It's worth any cost to be an ambassador for Jesus Christ. In this life, it's the highest calling there is. A Church of Christ guy was elected president of the United States one time. He was a deacon in the Church of Christ. A bunch of water dogs. If they really believe what they profess to believe, they're not even saved. Do you know what that man said? When he accepted the nomination to be the president, he addressed his church and he said, gentlemen, I step down to become your president. He had a right understanding. To be an ambassador for Jesus Christ is a greater honor and a greater privilege than to be the president. There's no greater service, there is no greater master, and there is no greater calling than being an ambassador for Jesus Christ. Let's bow our heads. Father, we thank you for your goodness and your mercy. Thank you that you loved us and you saved us.